With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Very good. Thank you for the call, Manila. I hope things work out for you.
All right, then. Thank you very much, too.
All righty. Let's go to the Governor's Office of Homeland Security. Chief Mike Steele joins us now. Hello, Mike. Thanks for checking in with us on this Sunday morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks.
Mike, what I'd like to do, I'm going to let our listeners know that they're welcome to call you if they've got a particular question or an issue that you might be able to answer for them, or they can text me at 504-260-1870, and I'll pass that along. I'm sure you were listening to Manila's predicament. Is there any solution that you can offer for that, or have you heard anyone else experiencing that problem where they're trying to find a FEMA-approved hotel to evacuate to, and they've got a list, but nobody's got openings till November?
It's definitely a shortage of hotel rooms right now for a number of different reasons, because of the power outage issues, because of I think some of this may be caused because we have in the neighborhood of 30,000, you know, utility workers and everything still in the state, too, you know, and they have to be near, you know, the impacted areas, or otherwise they're wasting time, you know, with a longer drive. I will definitely check on that, and, you know, we have more, you know, press conferences and everything scheduled over the next couple of days. I'll try and get some information on that and kind of work that up the chain. I'm not exactly sure of the cause, but I know, you know, when you have that many utility workers, and obviously we need them here, I'm sure that's putting a strain on everything as well.
Mike, what about our state park system? I mean, we have a wonderful system of some really nice cabins, everything from group large cabins that can hold 40-something people to those that will do 20, and then some down to just normal family units. Are all of those totally booked up, or are there some room there, or might that be a place where people could check to go spend a few days?
The lieutenant governor has kind of been in control of those sites. They're kind of run under his office. I know there was a lot of movement with those as far as when some of the hospitals and some of the COVID strains started to hit everything. I'm not really sure what's available and what the power situation is at each of those sites. I will definitely, you know, ask the lieutenant governor to kind of update that as well, you know, as we go throughout the day. I'm sorry, I just don't know an answer on that right at the moment.
Yeah, there's so many questions out there that require so many answers. Well, Mike, if you could just kind of run down on us the current status, if anything has changed overnight or since yesterday when we spoke, as far as getting things open, getting things back to normal, or information people should need to know in a time of need, as far as getting, you know, the points of distribution. And particularly we're getting some people, the elderly, that may be shut in and that they're staying in their buildings, but they really need to get out of there because they're just not suited to put up with the heat and the rough conditions. Maybe some advice for them on locations where they might be able to go into some evacuation centers that are open throughout the state.
Yeah, so the first thing, people need to text or call 211. That will provide them with the most updated shelter information, and they'll be able to get information about what's available to them. So that's one option we're encouraging everybody to do. You're right, the heat is pretty much at dangerous, even deadly levels in some cases, you know, over the next couple of days, and it doesn't look like we're going to get much break in that. Another thing is, you know, we have that situation out in the Gulf. You know, the governor kind of addressed it yesterday in one of the news conferences he held. You know, we don't want everybody to panic or whatever, but we all, including, you know, the state agencies, FEMA, everybody, we're going to be taking a look at this and seeing what moves, you know, could be done once, you know, we see another situation like this, if it does pop up. So we're asking everybody, you know, We know everybody's working hard to kind of pick up everything right now, but you still have to stay kind of weather aware over the next few days until we see what this threat potentially does. But we are trying to consolidate a lot of information at getagameplan.org. There's a Hurricane Ida tab that you can go to. Any press releases we get from a lot of our partner agencies at the state level, any information we get from FEMA, we're trying to push to that site. FEMA has put a couple of things out already that kind of list everything that they have available at this point. Things that have changed since we talked yesterday, St. Helena Parish has been added onto the list of parishes that can be utilize the Blue Roof program, where the Army Corps of Engineers will have contractors come out and kind of professionally install a Blue Roof on your home. And Assumption Parish is in the process. If that hasn't been fully approved, they should be approved really soon. So that's good news. That program really works, and thousands took part in it last year. Probably tens of thousands took advantage of it last year with Laura. And we're seeing a lot of people start to sign up for it again this year. It's been a rough stretch. One thing the governor talked about yesterday was, you know, we've had 5 landfalls now within basically a year, I believe in just maybe a few weeks over a year's time. And so with another threat out in the Gulf, you know, it's a rough stretch, but, you know, we got everybody kind of pulling in the same direction right now.
Mike, it sounds like, and it's a really pleasant surprise, power is being restored to some areas at a really rapid pace. And I know people who don't have it and have been without it said it can't come quick enough, and naturally it can't. But, I mean, we're only a week into this thing, not even a week into the thing. And there's a lot of places in the metropolitan areas that are coming on. We're hearing 80% returned in some areas. So for people that are in these areas like St. Tammany Parish, Orleans, Jefferson, even St. Bernard, with the exception of the Lafitte area in Jefferson Parish, I think most of these people are going to be getting somewhat back to normal lives soon. But what about the people who are in Terrebonne and Lafourche, those really hard-hit areas, some of St. John and St. James, where it's going to be a long-term ordeal for them? Is the state offering them some help and advice, or is basically they got to work through FEMA?
Well, and you know, one thing about that power outage issue you talked about, you know, I think we've cut it in about half, you know, over the past. What the utility crews are doing is remarkable. Mine didn't come on until yesterday evening. And so, you know, we've been kind of going through that same process. We have, you know, 3 small kids at home, and it is, you know, it's not a fun experience by any means, and it's difficult with the heat and just, you know, dealing with all those different factors. And but when you take a look at these areas where the grid, you know, the actual infrastructure was kind of wiped out, those are the areas that get really difficult, you know, when it comes to the power restoration. And I noticed one thing that one of the reps for a utility company brought up the other day. He said, you know, we try to be really careful with these estimates on restoration time because people make plans based on the things we're saying. So they don't want to be too optimistic on a restoration time because people could come home and kind of potentially be put in a dangerous situation. I never really thought about it on those lines, but that definitely could be a factor in someone's planning. So, you know, the main thing for us is even when it comes to pod locations, you know, we're trying to stay up to date on these websites and this information flow and everything. The main thing people need to do is stay in touch with what their locals are saying. You know, we still have some parishes and some municipalities basically asking people to stay out because they could just add to the problems in that potential area, and it's still dangerous. We have, you know, pod locations that change kind of on a daily basis, depending on where they're needed and some of the issues around those particular locations. You know, it's difficult to stay in touch, you know, and stay updated when you're dealing with power loss, but maybe check in with a relative or, you know, a friend that could check these sites out for you and kind of help keep you informed. Or if you know someone is busy, you know, working on their property or working on their home, you know, try to keep them informed if you can, if you notice these type changes. So You know, it's a rough stretch, and the information flow definitely doesn't get easier, you know, when you're dealing with these type situations.
As far as people returning, and you're exactly right, people are listening and they're tuned in to find out when the estimates are given for their particular neighborhood, and they make plans. That's when they're going to leave the hotel or the relation or friends that they're staying with and head home. Where is the best way to find that information? Just from my personal experience trying to find out in West St. Tammany, it's very difficult. They show outages in general terms, but they don't show areas that are relit on any kind of a map, on their outage map. And you certainly can't get them on the phone. And one way I'm finding out is I have this Ring system, and a lot of the neighbors are communicating within a few miles, and some of them have power and some don't, and they'll tell you when they do. But there's constantly people mm-hmm. asking, when is the power on such and such street or another street? How does someone find that information out?
I know our particular provider had given an update where they indicated they thought it would be up by 1 o'clock today, but actually it came on, you know, last night. Thank goodness. And so I think it's going to depend on the provider, but the Public Service Commission also has a website where they put a lot of that type of information on there as well, or you can find, you know, links to other things on that site. So, you know, the parishes have a lot of social media accounts nowadays that they use in addition to regular websites. And so sometimes you kind of have to search for those things, and it varies by region to region. But, you know, there is some information out there, but you kind of have to dig for it a little bit at times.
Mike, I have someone that's asking a question. So far we've been talking about power, and that's extremely important. But food, sustenance, they want to know if there's going to any way that they will distribute some emergency food stamps for people. Is there anything like that in the works?
So this, you know, is done through the Department of Children and Family Services. It's my understanding that we're going to see a lot of those type programs kick on, but there has to be a certain amount of grocery stores, and some restoration efforts have to be a little more further along before that kicks in. It basically sounded like there has to be stores open in order for you to have a place to you know, utilize those resources. That if the stores aren't open, then it's not going to, you know, be as effective. So all of those things are in the works. It's just we're a little bit too early for that right now, the way I understand it.
All right, Mike, we have a caller on the line, Eve, and I think she's got a question about the Blue Tarp program. Eve, thanks for your call. You're on the line with Mike Steele, the Governor's Office of Homeland Security. What's your question?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I live very near the airport in Kenner, and I'm also a transplant. I've been here for about 4 years. I'm 66, and I moved here. I'm an artist, and I moved here for that reason. And the house that I bought, because it's sort of in this semi-industrial area, it came with a full-size industrial garage in the backyard, believe it or not. It's actually bigger than my house. The house, God bless me, the house is okay. The garage, not. I've lost about 50% of the roof. I had a CNC router where I make wood crosses that took a big hit. It's soaking wet. It's probably no good anymore. I lost an awful lot of inventory. And I applied to FEMA, and I called my insurance, and I also applied to Roof Blue. But because my house is okay, which thank God it is, I don't know when all of these groups will get to my garage. And every time it's a problem, you know, it's my second home. So any information for artists, for people who have home businesses, I don't know if there's anything else, anywhere else that I could apply, because I'm just not familiar with it at all, this kind of situation.
Yeah. That brings up a good point. You know, a lot of these programs are designed and they, you know, seem to deal more with just your primary residence. I have a similar issue with a shed behind our house not as severe as what it sounds like you're talking about, but, you know, shed and fencing and
SBA,
everything in the back.
Yeah,
and so there is, you know, SBA assistance will be available at some point. If you get to a certain point, you can apply for an SBA loan, which I believe, you know, they indicated there'll be somewhere in the 1-2% range. And also there's a lot of tarps, you know, being distributed at the parish level at these pod locations. I believe about 100,000 have been.
I could use the tarps for covering stuff in the garage, but I can't. Somebody came over who actually works for FEMA, a friend of a friend, and they were able to tarp a corner of it, but they said that the foundation or whatever you call it, the wood things that hold the roof up are too dangerous mm-hmm. in other areas.
Yeah, so we definitely advise, you know, if you're not familiar with how to do that type of work, you know, really need people to be careful, because that's definitely a secondary, you know, problem when people start, you know, working on these type things and are not familiar with how to get that done. You know, there's going to be also, there's some nonprofit groups that are going to be moving in. I know the Southern Baptist Association usually has a big work detail that comes in. I would probably call your parish officials and just see if any of those groups are available right now in your parish, and find out if they would be able to come in. A lot of these volunteer groups will help out on certain, you know, things, but it's hard for us to say in Baton Rouge which groups are operating in every single parish right now. So your parish and your local leaders would probably be the best to reach out to at this point.
And in terms of the application for FEMA, because I'm assuming they're going to go with people's homes first, how long would I be expecting to get some compensation? I know they're, from what I understand, the insurance company is going to look, they're going to look, and then I guess they're going to discuss between the two of them, you know, who's going to help me pay for it, and roughly how long are we taking, 6 months to a year?
That might be a better question for Jim Donlin when we get him on with the State Insurance Commission.
Okay.
I'm sure he's familiar with the workings between the two agencies.
And also, when you're talking about case-by-case things with FEMA and some of the SBA assistance and everything, that, you know, some of the initial money that they give out, you know, on the front end is usually done within a few days. But when you're talking about those insurance payments and some of the other factors that come in, you know, it's hard for us. I hate to give any information that we're not, you know, sure on. I do know that once you get, you know, your initial information all set with FEMA, that initial, you know, maybe $500 that comes out, you know, from FEMA or some of the other things, that usually rolls out within a few days.
Okay, Eve, as little help as we can be, we'd hope we've helped you a little bit, and maybe keep listening, and someone will check in with us and give us some suggestions on maybe some steps you might be able to take. But just my advice, be careful. There's a lot of fly-by-night shysters out there that want to take deposits and come do your work real quick, and make sure you're dealing with someone reputable before you get anyone to do any repairs.
One thing FEMA points out, too, when their inspectors arrive and you know, anybody else associated with FEMA arrives, there is never a situation where a FEMA employee would ask for any type of payment for anything. And so make sure they have the right credentialing. You know, we've heard law enforcement tell us that if you don't feel right about somebody and they're trying to pressure you into, you know, paying and, like you said, putting a deposit down or whatever, get a picture of their ID or their vehicle or something and kind of report people to law enforcement at that point, because, you know, we do have these people that will take advantage of a situation like this and roll in.
Absolutely. Mike, stay with me. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got a couple more questions for you. We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Mike Steele from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security. You're listening to our continuing coverage of Hurricane Ida Aftermath. I'm Don Dubuque. Good Sunday morning. And with us is Mike Steele with the Governor's Office of Homeland Security. Mike, with regard to volunteering, I've heard from some personal friends and contacts I've got both in and out of state, places that were unaffected by this storm, that want to come help. They want to come cook. They're gathering up supplies. They want to distribute it, but they don't know where to go, who to see, how to get set up doing this. Is there some type of a clearinghouse that the state has for incoming aid from some of these, whether it be a religious group or just a group of fishermen that want to get together and collect up a bunch of badly needed supplies and get it to the people, and then have a listing somewhere on the website where people can find where those will be or make announcements on social media? Is there any type of way to coordinate this an abnormally large number of people who want to come here and give some desperately needed assistance and aid?
Yeah, that's a great point and something we have to hit on just about every time, you know, after an event this big. So we have employees at GOSEP that are kind of working with the Lieutenant Governor's office. The Lieutenant Governor runs the Volunteer Louisiana program. And so usually on the Lieutenant Governor's website and some of their social media and everything, they'll push out information about where to go on, you know, for those types of groups. And when it comes to donations, that is always a tricky situation because you know there are 100% there's items that the people need right now. You know, some people need everything. But if a parish isn't set to receive those items yet, maybe they don't have warehouse space available or power to a warehouse, you know, to put those items, or if they don't have the staff to sit there and take those items in, you know, there has to be everything from someone to receive the items as they're coming in. And some of these things come in by, you know, the 18-wheeler truckload, you know. But they have to have someone available to receive those items. They have to have a place to store those items. They have to find a place to distribute the items. And then you need personnel, you know, for all those steps. And so we typically ask people to kind of hold off on those type things until they've made a connection. Sometimes they'll go church to church. You know, there may be a church in Houston that'll contact a church in Kenner. And it's fine if you have that type of connection where you can kind of handle those logistics issues, you know, as part of the process. That, you know, but we're asking people to really make sure they have, you know, those answers in place before they start to move in with those things, you know, until a parish or you know, municipality can handle it.
So if someone is listening right now and they're loading up a van or a truck or trailers and they're bringing supplies here, but they just don't know where to go, but they know it's needed and they're coming, who should they contact to find out? Could they contact the governor's office? And does the governor's office have requests for those things for where people could show up? I had some friends who were in Texas. One's a coworker, and they happen to have a lot of extra game like venison, and they did a big cooking thing and collected up supplies, you know, paper towels and sanitaries and hand washes and things like that, and were not unsure where to distribute. They finally found a place, and it went in no time. But if someone is in that situation and they're organizing one of these caravans that's going to come bring assistance, could the state guide them to some locations, maybe to their distribution points, or do they not want to, you know, get the two can mix together where someone's trying to put things out through an organized distribution point and have volunteers come in with supplies on top of that?
Yeah, for the pod locations themselves, I'm not sure if they would if that would be the correct spot to do it. You know, usually there's a set traffic pattern and you know, a security issue around those sites or whatever. Sometimes we've seen people come in and set up near those sites in an area that was safe. Like we don't discourage people from coming in and helping out. We just ask them to maybe connect with the parish, you know, or someone at the local level to say like, hey, we would like to bring these items in. And if the parish is scrambling, trying to take care of the, you know, just the essential things, generators for hospitals and, you know, all the things that are going on right now, they may not have the staff to be able to kind of help with that situation. So, again, you know, we're not trying to tell people not to help. It's just if it's not done the right way with the right connection, you know, on the receiving end, then you can add to kind of, you know, additional problems for that particular area. Right now, again, that Volunteer Louisiana office through the Lieutenant Governor's office is kind of the main hub that we're all kind of using at this point.
And maybe they might, maybe we could suggest that they contact the utility companies, because they've got line crews that are out there working day and night, and, you know, they're not familiar with the area. They're from out of state. They don't know where their next meal's coming from. So I'm sure they could use it, ice, water, just some of the basic things brought to those crews. And maybe coordinate that through the power company.
Yeah, we saw the same thing last year. We saw some groups from Baton Rouge, you know, over in the Cameron Parish area that went in and found a safe location. It was near kind of an intersection, kind of getting you down to that, you know, there's only a few ways into the coast over in that area. And so they had set up kind of along a highway in a parking lot and kind of set up their own pod location and all. And so, again, if you can coordinate that with the parish, that typically helps out. And then it even gives the parish an idea of, hey, this group's going to be over there helping out, you know, so we can kind of focus more on another area, you know, that type thing. Any coordination like that helps out tremendously.
All right. I've got someone said, if someone wants to cook and distribute food, my yard is a perfect place. 3 miles south of I-12 on 445. They're welcome, and I'm an awesome cook. I can help prepare it. So, there's a lot of people. Yes, indeed. We'll make an appointment. Go have lunch. Mike, thanks for spending the time with us, as always. We appreciate it and look forward to you joining us again.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks.
All right. Mike Steele, Governor's Office of Homeland Security. All right. Let's check out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.